Good morning. I'm Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. I'm so pleased to have in my studio today not only a guest, but a friend, but also a colleague, Mr. Tim Russell. He's an international businessman, but also an entertainer. Tim, welcome to the program, and thank you for interrupting your schedule to share with us your thoughts and insights on leadership, but also discuss your new album, End of Beginnings.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Tim, if you could you share with the audience the highlights of your education, career, background?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in the Boston area and went to school at Skidmore College and graduated at a time when the economy was in a bit of a rut and had essentially three options: going back to school, getting an internship, or traveling. And I chose the travel option, and I went overseas to Asia. Never been there before, and loved it, loved the culture, loved the people, loved the excitement and the opportunities, and I really have never looked back. And that's really what started my interest in my career working in business in the international side of things. And from that point onwards, I've really focused on bridging the gap between American companies and foreign companies. So,
and how long have you been here at News Bank?
I've been here at News Bank for coming up on 7 years now.
7 years. And you manage, of course, all the international business, not only China, but anything outside of the U.S., correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Europe, Middle East, Sub-Saharan Africa, Australia, and Asia.
I mean, that's a fascinating background to say, I'm out of school, hey, the economy's not doing great, but hey, I'm going to go to China where I don't speak Mandarin. but you speak Mandarin now.
Well, I do. I ended up living there for 3 years and then coming back to Boston, working with a company in this industry. They then sent me off to Australia, where I lived for 3 years, and then I came back to Boston, and then was shipped over to Hong Kong for 3 years. So for pretty much the last 20 years, I've been going back and forth between, between the United States and abroad.
But, you know, I'm really looking forward to diving more into leadership, but also leadership on an international basis, because you're dealing with so many different cultures and languages. But let's talk about your new album, End of Beginnings. When I first met you, and I was at a News Bank event, and you went, picked up your guitar, and next thing I know, here's this, we got this great entertainment. and then you and I shared a conversation. You said that you were recording this album. Tell us about End of Beginnings, the title, and how did it all come about?
Well, End of Beginnings was really a labor of love that was a 20-year project in the making, and it started literally with my first assignment overseas when I was living in Taipei, Taiwan, of all places. And I've always had this theme of wanting to get away, but at the same time always wanting to come back home. And many of the songs and the lyrics really tie into that whole concept of being a little bit unsettled, always wanting to come home and finding a home. And the meaning of the title, End of Beginnings, really came about with an epiphany of sorts where I think I sort of figured it all out. And that is finding a good work and life balance, being happy with what you have, where you are, and making the most of the time. And so End of Beginnings really signifies the end of this period of, I wouldn't even call it wanderlust so much as back and forth, but really moving forward with a clear idea about what I want out of life. And the songs that I've written when I was in that sort of 20-year state of mind summarize that point, but I'm not there anymore. So,
is there a signature song that epitomizes End of Beginnings?
Well, one of the first songs that I wrote and recorded, a song called 1,000 Miles, which talked about my sort of longing for being at home, which was 1,000 miles away at the time.
Okay.
Probably sums it up pretty well. And I've got a little clip here if you'd like.
I would love to hear it, yes.
Something
And if I remember the credits on the album, you played every instrument?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. And did your sister join you in some of the vocals?
No, not my sister. Oh. I did a lot of background vocals myself. Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law.
A sister-in-law.
That's right. She did the vocals for one of the tracks that's on there. But for the most part, I've lugged around with me my recording studio back and forth and laid down the tracks myself, with the exception of the drums, which is done by a good friend of mine.
There are a lot of folks out there who have a lot of talent, but they're working, you know, for a corporation, whatnot. What advice would you give them in regards to finding that balance where, you know, you're taking care of your business, working and taking care of your family, but also you're taking care of that creative side?
Yeah, well, that's really a very important question, and one that I struggled with for a long time, because, you know, we've all been in the situation where we're working 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, and you know, there's just more to life than that. And that's not to say you ignore or you do any less work, but you really have to achieve a good work-life balance. Right. And when I realized that I wasn't doing my music, which I was passionate about, I wasn't spending as much time with my kids because I was traveling so much.
How many children do you have?
I've got two kids.
Two kids?
Yeah, 10 and 7. And, you know, I realized at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you're not going to remember that conference call at 9 o'clock you had on a Friday night. But so it's just about making time to have a good work-life balance, which I think is better for everybody involved, and it makes your work improve as well. So,
and you finished the album, and I know there was a write-up in some of the local papers. What other exciting things are going on with the album?
Well, frankly, I expected to sell about 6 copies, 4 of whom to my mom. but there's been some great publicity, not just locally, but on a broader scale as well. And I was surprised that Spotify, in particular, once the album went live on iTunes, Spotify picked up on it and started broadcasting it to other countries around the world. So apparently, I'm big in Sweden.
Big in Sweden, okay.
So it's interesting to see where some of my songs have become popular and where they've charted. Mm-hmm. And Sweden and the Netherlands are two areas where I guess they like me over there, so we'll see. But I'm not quitting my day job anytime
that's
soon.
That's right, that's right. 1,000 miles, you know, I really love that title. I mean, obviously you have flown over probably 1,000,000 miles over the course of your career. And you have this time away from your family. What do you reflect on as a businessman as it relates to your family?
Well, when you're on an airplane for 15 hours and you've seen the latest Sandra Bullock movie 3 times over, there's a lot of free time to really sit there and, and think. And you've pretty much hit the nail on the head. One of the common things I really thought about was, again, finding a good work-life balance. And there was a point where I was traveling probably 75% of the year. After my son had just been born, he was a year old, and I had missed Easters and Thanksgivings and birthdays, and just realized there's got to be a bit better balance. So the travel scaled back a lot, but nowadays, it's a lot easier to stay in touch, too, with the advances in technology. So
that's
it makes things easier, too.
FaceTime and all that good stuff.
It's a great invention.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure is.
Let's talk about leadership. In your opinion, from an international perspective, because Americans, typically, not all, but a few, go over there and really embarrass themselves because they don't understand the local customs. But from an international perspective, what are the traits of a great leader in business?
Well, first and foremost, without a doubt, I think the most important quality anyone that wants to be successful in international business really has to have an appreciation and a sensitivity and an understanding of the local culture. And I cannot stress that enough. You know, there have been case studies galore about Americans and American companies wanting to go overseas and expand their business internationally, thinking you can just adopt the American model over there. And everyone from the smallest company to GM has stories of flopping because they didn't understand the market and more importantly, how to do business over there. You know, I've had the advantage of spending a lot of time abroad and knowing a lot of people in that space, and being sensitive to how they do business. And oftentimes, if I go in and I can adapt to the Japanese methodology of doing business, for example, not only are they surprised that an American comes in and sort of knows how to do a proper bow, they give me a lot of respect in return. And that really counts for a lot. And I've been told that we'd be surprised at how much that really counts. So, you know, when we deal with new employees or interns, one of the first things I always talk about and really emphasize is the need to understand your market. And that applies whether it's international or domestic anywhere.
And speaking of Japan, what are some of the common faux pas that some folks might make? Not just Americans, but people who are not from Japan.
Well, some of these I've learned by experience, but one of the most important and common mistakes people make in Japan is business cards. The Japanese, they hold the aspect of giving and receiving a business card is very important. And most Americans, we would get a business card and either throw it on the table or stuff it in our pocket or write on it. But in Japan, you're supposed to treat that with reverence. You should have a business card holder that you put it in and don't stuff it in your pocket right away.
And of course, the giving and receiving is with two hands.
That's right.
When you hand the card and you receive the card. And then, from what I understand, they want you to read it so that you're showing respect that, oh, you're really reading who they are and your title.
That's right. It would be good to make some polite comment on it or observation about their role or their company. And again, it's all about respect. Mm-hmm. And you're really showing respect in a way that they understand and they know that. So that's important.
Is there any other big faux pas that you can share with us?
Don't ever stick your chopsticks straight up and down into a bowl of rice. That has the image of two incense sticks sticking out of a funeral pyre. And so if you're ever eating rice in Japan with chopsticks, always make sure you lay your chopsticks down across the top of the bowl, not stuck in the rice. So.
Now, you know, on a lighter note, I was at a meeting that you were attending and you had a guest there from Australia. And there was a particular, I don't know if it's a spread, you might say, had a particular taste to it.
Yes.
And from what I understand, you acquired this taste in China.
In Taiwan,
in
of
Taiwan,
all places.
Yes. Well, what is that condiment? And
Well, the spread in question is called Vegemite, and my Australian friends would know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Vegemite is a black yeast salty spread, which is essentially all the gunk from the bottom of a fermentation tank when they make beer. Apparently it's loaded with vitamin B12, and they scoop this stuff up, and the Australians put it on toast, and it looks remarkably similar to Nutella, but you can't let that
swade
you. It's got a very pungent, raw taste, and it just so happens, Darrell, that I happen to have some samples right over here for
you. Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Feel free to dive in.
All right.
No, it's a very cheap condiment that people put on toast. And when I was a starving student and I had an Australian roommate, we lived off of bread and Vegemite for a good couple months. So
and if
I acquired the taste.
What was the Australian rock band that in their song they talk about Vegemite sandwich?
Yeah, Men at Work.
Men at Work, yes.
That's right.
Yes. And let's talk about your role here at News Bank. It's quite a significant role. News Bank is renowned for its coverage of newspaper articles from the beginning of time and currently, and you manage the international side of that business. What does that entail?
Well, the international role really entails all facets of the business outside of the U.S. and Canada for the most part, and it's very wide encompassing in that it entails everything from doing product development, which includes market research on the ground, product build, actual marketing and sales channel management, account support and service. Really the biggest part of my role involves building up and managing our international sales teams around the world,
right.
Both our direct employees that work for us, either here in the U.S. or abroad, also managing our international agent network.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of my travel involves going to visit these agents and ensure that they're up to speed and mm-hmm. properly trained and properly focusing on our products and opportunities abroad. So.
And you've been doing it now for the last 7 years, is it?
With Newsbank for 7 years,
yeah.
But I've worked in this space for about 20 or
mm-hmm.
so.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very small industry. And
right. What changes have you seen over the last 20 years in doing business on an international basis? What things have gotten easier? What things have gotten more challenging?
Well, without a doubt, the biggest change I've seen is just in our generation,
mm-hmm.
this mass globalization that has taken place in, I wouldn't even say one generation, it's happened in a period of roughly 10 years,
mm-hmm.
whereby even just 15 years ago, if you went to France and tried to do business in France, if you didn't know French, you weren't going to get very far. If you went to China to try to do business, if you didn't know Chinese, you weren't going to get very far. Same thing with Japan. And so students were really rushing to learn these languages where they wanted to do business. Nowadays, that's a really big change. You can do business pretty much the world over and be able to do it in English.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas I talked before about the need to really understand your local market, with the advances of technology and with a quicker development internationally in their cultural understanding, the need to be culturally sensitive, I think, has diminished somewhat from even 15 years ago. It's still very important, don't get me wrong, but there's more latitude and leeway given today if you make a cultural faux pas, because the Chinese are more apt to know the American way of doing business, and they'll come to the table prepared for that. Now, at the same time, it's always a pleasant surprise if you come to the table prepared to do business the Chinese way, too. But that is one huge, huge difference I've seen just in the last 15 years. And, of course, you know, with the advances in technology and the proliferation of broadband, we're working a lot faster, more efficiently, and we have access to markets that we didn't even have access to 10 to 15 years ago just because of the technology wasn't there.
Right, right. And how do you find negotiating internationally?
It's one of the things I love most about my job.
Okay.
You know, there are two styles of negotiating. There's the negotiating style to win, which is extract every dollar you possibly can out of a negotiation. And to some people, that's the vision of a successful negotiation. My approach and my view of a successful negotiation is really more of coming to a win-win solution.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not get every single dollar out of that, but if both parties walk away from the table happy, that's got the makings for a much better long-term relationship. So that's where that cultural sensitivity comes into play.
Which country, in your opinion, is the toughest to negotiate with?
Without a doubt, China.
And why is that?
Well, the Chinese, and I don't like to stereotype, but broadly speaking, the Chinese have a long history of negotiating almost every aspect of their lives. We as Americans just don't have that negotiating tactic instilled in the things that we do. So they've been doing it for thousands of years. They know
right.
how to do it.
Right.
They are very good at posturing and really playing against all the emotional sensitivities and the financial pieces as well. So they're patient. They know that they have a large market that many American companies want to get into, and so
right.
they can afford to
right.
take a hard-line position if they need
right.
to. But, yeah, they're up there.
How would you describe your leadership style?
My leadership style is really leading by example. I don't like to micromanage. I like to hire people that have good heads on their shoulders and that are intrinsically very intelligent and street smart. If they're going to make a mistake, I'd rather them make a mistake and learn from that mistake rather than being just told what to do, because I think that that's the way that people will learn from it. I've been fortunate to be successful in my career for the most part, and I do know what I'm talking about on a lot of these things, so a lot of the proof comes in the results that I'm able to bring. But I do enjoy really spending time with people and helping educate them on the process, especially in international business. So,
and on the theme of leadership, what do you feel are the key characteristics or traits of a great leader?
First and foremost, I think patience is one of the most important things. I've seen too many people make mistakes, do sloppy work if they're not patient. The second most important thing is the ability to listen. Not so much the ability to talk, although you might think that's very important, but my current boss, who was actually my boss 20 years ago, said to me on the second day of work, he said, whenever you go in to meet with the client, you should be doing 10% of the talking and 90% of the listening. And I've remembered that to this day, and that has served me very well, so I really preach that to the people that I train also.
Excellent. And as you know, here at Newsbank, we have a number of young colleagues. What advice would you give to them to prepare themselves to become a great leader?
I think the key is to look at the people that have been successful and then spend some time to really think about what it is about those people that have made them successful. And everybody is different. People have different measuring sticks of what constitutes success. It could be a simple number that they've happened to hit. It could be the ability to lead other people or command or make decisions on the fly. So number one, it really depends on what you want to get out of the term of being successful. Emulate those points. Understand how they've gotten to the position where they have been, whether it's engendering trust, whether it's educating themselves, whether it's doing their own research, and follow in their footsteps and ask them, what do they think has made them successful?
That's some great advice. Currently, are you mentoring any of the younger folks here at Newsbank?
I am. We have a great internship program actually here at Newsbank where we get some college students that come in for a four-month rotation and they get about a month in each division of the company. And one of the biggest elements of that training process is a project that they do for me to do a full market analysis. And over the course of that, which is actually a three-month process, I spend a lot of time with the interns and do a lot of leadership training with them. And we've been very fortunate to have a great group of people come through here and go on to be quite successful in the company and elsewhere.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. Speaking of heroes and leaders, this is a question I find very interesting for my guests because some folks have heroes, some folks don't. What about you? Do you have any heroes that you model yourself after in regards to leadership?
I do. My biggest hero is my grandfather, who I was named after. He was a CEO of a brewery, of all things, in Cincinnati. But he was hired to be the CEO of a waste management company in Boston at a time in the 70s when it was rife with corruption and mafia influence. And he went in and he cleaned out the entire organization, got rid of the organized crime and the waste management business,
wow,
and did it against some pretty difficult circumstances.
Yes.
And you know, some of the things that he told me about his days are really admirable. Figures that are probably more well-known, Madeleine Albright, I've always been amazed at what she has done and what she's been able to do, both in terms of breaking a glass ceiling in government, not just in domestic government, but again, internationally. To be a woman, to go abroad and have the success that she had under the Clinton administration in places like the Middle East, China, Latin America, where historically gender roles are more important than they are here. And of course, my personal favorite is Winston Churchill for his leadership. I mean, it doesn't get much better than Churchill.
Absolutely. Getting back to your music, I believe I heard you correctly that you have sold a song to Sade.
That's true. Yep. Before I put out my album, I had some of my music up online for sale that mm-hmm. other artists could buy and re-record for their own use, and her producer mm-hmm. bought one of my songs. It hasn't been recorded and released yet, but I'm still waiting to hear. So
can't wait for that next Sade album.
We'll see. We'll see.
That is excellent. Is there a quote that about leadership that you like to share with the audience, or a phrase, or just an experience that demonstrates what leadership is all about?
Yeah, there's a quote that I have carried around on a piece of paper in my wallet for probably 25 years now.
Which 25?
It was a quote that came from the book Chesapeake by James Michener. And give me a moment.
Absolutely.
Just to find it here.
Meanwhile, I think I'm going to try to find a cracker for the Vegemite.
So here it is. It reads, "A ship, like a human being, moves best when it is slightly athwart the wind, when it has to keep its sails tight and attend its course. For ships, like men, do poorly when the wind is directly behind, pushing them sloppily on their way so that no care is required in steering or in the management of sails. The wind seems favorable, for it blows in the direction one is heading, but actually it is destructive because it induces a relaxation in tension and skill. What is needed is a wind slightly opposed to the ship, for then tension can be maintained, juices can flow, and ideas can germinate. For ships, like men, respond to challenge."
Wow, that is excellent. And you've been, how were you introduced to this quote? By reading the book?
Or? I read the book 25 years ago, and it jumped out at me, and I copied it down, and I've had it in my wallet ever since. And that's sort of a motto I tried to live by.
Wow, that is excellent, Tim. Yeah. Tim, believe it or not, we are out of time. But before we go, any parting comments for our guests on the topic of leadership?
I would just quote a Chinese painting I have in my office here that reads, "May your life be as deep as the East Sea and as high as the West Mountain." And I think that pretty much sums it up.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Mr. Tim Russell, the VP of International Markets for Newsbank, and the singer and songwriter of the new album, End of Beginnings. And Tim, I take it that they can get this on iTunes?
They can. Yep, it's available on iTunes, or the CD is available from tim-russell.org.
Wonderful. Tim, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for this weekend. This is Darrell Gunter, your host of Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at wsou.net. Remember, leadership begins with you. Have a great weekend.